Mark in the Morning comes to you from the studios of 100.3 The Sound in Los Angeles. In Southern California, hear it happen live without a net from 6 to 10 a.m. Weekdays on 100.3 FM.
I tried my best. I tried my best to stay off this, and I can't. Yes! Oh, yeah. I like that thing.
Mark, if you ever did get into drag, I think your name would be Shalimar.
Oh, are they big with the drag queens?
No, I just think it'd be a good name.
Well, now you know that I'm
coming up on stage, Shalimar. Oh, no, I know you've dabbled.
Yeah, well, I had to do a show at a drag club.
Yeah, yeah, it's fantastic.
1450 WLAY. We've got thunder showers in the forecast. A projected high of 86. Tomorrow is about the same. 325-5151 is our requested line. This is from Allison. She's loving her some Shalimar. I know you come a long way, baby. Thank you. Thank you. Today, the Republican National Convention is underway. We got you covered. And the question from last night is, did Trump's wife, Melania, plagiarize Michelle Obama's speech from 2008? I'll play it for you and you decide. Oh, and the guy that was the ghostwriter for one of Trump's books is talking. Macaulay Culkin did his first interview in 10 years. And a couple that drinks together stays together. One of my favorite stories, a couple was arrested for riding a lawnmower at 3 in the morning and they were both naked. Wait till you hear their excuse. Ian Ziering?
Yeah! Steve Sanders!
Well, he's in the new Sharknado movie. We'll talk to him. The top 10 best guitar players from L.A. Mikey is already pissed.
Yep.
Our final family four-pack of tickets to the Orange County Fair. We'll talk that through. 7 reasons today doesn't suck. We're going to be speaking with an ABC 7 correspondent. He is in Cleveland. Nancy Cartwright, Bart Simpson is in the room. And the man that I adore, anything for this man, I get a chance to speak with Adam Carolla today. All of it coming your way on Mark in the Morning. Jimmy talking to you, baby. All right, so last night, the Republican National Convention got underway. Traditionally, the nominee waits until Thursday night to come out. Trump, riding his own train, decided that he would introduce his wife.
Thank you. We love you. Thank you very much. We're going to win. We're going to win so big. Thank you very much.
And it took him 3 minutes to get to it, so I'm not going to go all that. And then his wife, Melania, spoke.
My husband offers a new direction, welcoming change, prosperity, and greater cooperation among peoples and nations.
Scott Baio spoke.
But for you first-time voters, it's important for you to know what it means to be an American.
And then Rudy Giuliani took the mic and decided to bash Hillary.
Who would trust Hillary Clinton to protect them? I wouldn't.
All right. So the big story today, the one that's all over everywhere, is the question, did Melania plagiarize Michelle Obama's 2008 speech? I've got a comparison piece. You will hear Michelle Obama first.
Barack and I were raised with so many of the same values. Like, you work hard for what you want in life. That your word is your bond, that you do what you say you're going to do.
My parents impressed on me the values that you work hard for what you want in life. That your word is your bond, and you do what you say and keep your promise.
That you treat people with dignity and respect, even if you don't know them, and even if you don't agree with them.
That you treat people with respect. They taught and showed me values and morals in their daily life. That is a lesson that I continue to pass along to our son. And we need to pass those lessons on to the many generations to follow.
And Barack and I set out to build lives guided by these values and to pass them on to the next generation because we want our children and all children in this nation to know that the only limit to the height of your achievements is the reach of your dreams and your willingness to work hard for them.
Because we want our children in this nation to know that the only limit to your achievements is the strength of your dreams and your willingness to work for them.
Now, maybe it's accidental, but boy, I mean, seriously.
Yeah, I think the first thing we have to say is I don't think Melania plagiarized anything. I don't think she was burning the midnight oil with her number two Ticonderoga writing out a speech. But whoever wrote that for her got a couple of cues from Michelle.
Well, one of the things they said on Good Morning America, you can bet that all of the writers in the Trump campaign are looking at all the rest of the speeches that are going to be done and try to make sure that this doesn't start again.
That's a really good idea.
Now, this coming Saturday, we are going to be at the Orange County Fair. Mark in the morning, Andy in the afternoon, Uncle Joe, Chick on the street. We're going to be there in full form. We're putting on a show this year. We open up with Fill in the Blank with Matt and Frank. Then Matt's band Big Language plays five songs. We've got listener talent. The Mark's Back shirt will be there. The mannequin that Danny bought for the shirt to go on is freaking everybody out.
Do you know why? Don't say why. Let's scare everybody in Los Angeles and Orange County. It got worse this morning.
What?
Just go move on. All right. So upsetting.
Well, I had to go buy a mannequin. I don't need to get into why, but I had to go deep into downtown L.A. to a mannequin store. And so I go in and I tell the guy what I'm looking for. And he goes, all right, let me look. So he leaves. I am standing in this store. I'm by myself. And there are 300 mannequins staring at me.
Nope.
And then I look through a couple of them and in the back, there's one mannequin who half his face had been bashed in. I got creeped. I got that mannequin and I got the frick out.
I would do the same thing.
But it's going to start at noon and it's at the Heritage Stage, 800 seats. So if you want to be guaranteed a place to sit, you should get there early because it's open. Once you're in the fair, you can just go sit down. But if it fills up and you still want to see the show, there's plenty of room to stand. So it's going to be great. Uncle Joe's going to be there. Chick on the Street, we're doing Chick on the Seats with a little Q&A. We've got entertainment. It's just going to be great. It is this coming Saturday, noon to 3 at the Orange County Fair. And the Orange County Fair, pound for pound, I hope I have time to go because it is the best. It's a real fair. They've got rides. They got games. They've got livestock. They have shows. And at night, they have pretty good concerts, which you have to have another ticket for.
Yeah. But can I tell you four words why Tim and I can't wait for the fair?
Mm-hmm.
Bacon-wrapped turkey leg.
Ooh.
It's
so
the greatest.
See, I see people walking around Disneyland eating those things,
yes.
And I've just never understood why you would want that.
What's not to understand? You're like an old French king with a gigantic turkey leg.
Well, Josh and Katie are going to be on stage trying three different fair foods and giving you their review. So check us out. We want to see all of you. Orange County Fair, Saturday at noon.
Now, the name soon to be heard around the universe is Mr. Mike TV. You love to watch TV, Mike?
You bet.
Yeah, I do. And as you know, Sting is in town with Peter Gabriel. He played the Bowl the last two nights. And he was on Jimmy Kimmel Live last night and performed the very first Police song off their very first album. The song Next to You was the very first song the Police ever did. And he played it last night with a band called the Los Bandoleros. And it was pretty awesome. Check it out.
Sting! Think I'm
Police were a punk band at the beginning, right?
Right, yeah, which is why that's a punk song, yeah.
I could not be a bigger fan of Sting's solo work, not so much the Police.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah. Except the big hits.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's just a little portion. The whole song is up on our Mark in the Morning Facebook page, and there's your Mike TV.
Sit, Boo Boo, sit. Good dog.
Gina just told me that she and her boyfriend watched Bad Santa again the other night. It is, if you've never, it is pound for pound one of the funniest, most vile.
Yes.
And it's Christmas, and Santa's a bad guy.
I have so much respect for Billy Bob Thornton for taking that role.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, because it was balls or nothing.
The best movie. Oh my God.
You know, if you've never seen it, do yourself a favor and drag it out.
Look, Bullwinkle, a message in a bottle.
Fan mail from some flounder?
No, this is what I really call a message.
Dear Mark in the Morning Crew. I want to start by saying that I have enjoyed your show since day one. You guys are funny, and you make my mornings more enjoyable. I'm writing because I may have found your oldest listener. Maybe not, but follow me here. Over the past year, my 87-year-old dad has lost most of his eyesight. He now listens to books and radio. He can still watch his soccer on TV, but he has trouble seeing it. So this past weekend, we were talking about the Orange County Fair, and he said that his favorite morning show is going to be there next Saturday. I said, that's funny, because so is mine. I then asked him what station, and he said he listens to Mark in the Morning. After I picked my jaw up from the floor, we talked and laughed about all the shenanigans that happened during your show. He said he likes listening to Gina. I think he was a little jealous when I told him that I went to the anniversary show. I asked why he listens to the show, and he told me that Mark reminds him of Abbott from Abbott and Costello. Keep up the good work, and thanks for making my dad happy every morning, Mike Lundy.
Oh, now, that's great.
Now, we were talking about we're making the appearance this weekend and that the Mark's Back shirt is going to be there, and I was in fear that I was going to forget it, and here I have, I promoted it, and there'll be a naked mannequin standing there with a goat. So Linda shipped it. It has arrived. Danny,
yo,
do you have possession of the shirt?
It is on the mannequin as we speak.
Nice. Now, did you press it?
I'm going to steam it. It's pretty wrinkle-free. It's good material there.
It doesn't matter. The goat's going to eat it anyway.
No. We'll rope it off.
No, the Killer goat's beer. Inside.
The goat's
Killer.
Inside? No, the goat's outside.
No.
Outside the ropes.
No, the goat's inside the fence.
The goat is the security goat.
Oh my God, yeah. This is no good.
And well, and I'm not going to say why, but Danny made the mannequin just a little more terrifying today.
Yeah. We can add hair, make him naked and bald, whatever we want.
So, we've talked about this. I had another one of those nights. I woke up at 1. I fought it. I tried. I couldn't, so I got up. I got up at 1 o'clock this morning, came down. The show was completely ready to go by 3 a.m. Completely ready. So I went outside to kill time. Now, in cases like when you're up all night, I was given 2 gifts that I would not have enjoyed had it not been for the fact that I had to get up at 1. The first one, we had a full moon last night, and it was sitting on top of the lake. Oh. And the reflection was one of the most gorgeous things I had ever seen.
And shimmering.
And then around 4:30, it turned orange.
Oh, wow.
And that was cast on the water. Here's the other gift. I turned on the NFL Network, and they played not one, but 2 Panther games back-to-back from this past season. And it's funny. I'm watching these games, and even though I know we win, we beat the team. You're sitting there watching it, and then a receiver drops a pass, and it's 2 in the morning. I'm going, oh, come on, yelling at the top of my freaking lungs. So, yeah, there's always, you know, a little lemonade you can make even out of a situation like that, and that was mine. When was the last time you had to get up, Gina?
I had to get up, or I just got up in the middle of the night? I had to get up this morning.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't sleep.
Oh, last night. I was up, you know, I fall right to sleep. I was feeling a little under the weather, but I had to pee. And I got up at midnight to pee. And it was just, it was hot. Everything was hot. It's kind of the weather this summer. And I was up until 3 petting a dog who didn't want me to pet him.
The world is trending. Gina Grad watches it for you.
Well, the RNC kicked off last night in Cleveland. Keynote speakers included Scott Baio, soap star Antonio Sabato Jr. Oh, by the way, who I loved when he was giving a speech. Under his name, it just said underwear model. And Donald's wife, Melania. The Legend of Zorro star Antonio Banderas is set to portray yet another storied figure. This time, one from the fashion world. He will be playing Gianni Versace. And here's what's trending in sports. WWE was sued on Monday by Jimmy Superfly Snuka. You love him, yeah. Mikey. And does... Danny's happy. Dozens of other retired wrestlers seeking to hold it responsible for neurological injuries they claim to suffer by participating in wrestling. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. We reshare a very awkward conversation with Arnold Schwarzenegger coming up. But first, The Clash. This is Mark in the Morning.
So here's a fun fact for you. Although they split up 5 years ago, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver are still legally married. We have Arnold on the phone to talk about it. Thanks for calling in, Arnold.
Yes, thank you for having me in all of this.
So you don't think it's a little strange that you and Maria are still married, Arnold?
Yes, I'm sure that to most people, you know, this is very unusual and things of this nature. But other than that small detail, you know, we are just like every other divorced couple.
I see.
Indeed. You know, we are still cordial with each other when we see each other in public. We make sure that we both see our children for an equal amount of time. Mm-hmm. And I still drive slowly past the house she shares with a new boyfriend late at night and scream out, "Why, God, why? Maria, what have I done? I'm so sorry," at the top of my lungs and all of this.
Oh.
Okay, so that last thing isn't really something that normal divorced people do, Arnold?
You know, I disagree. You know, we are just like every other couple who was once married but have moved on. You know, with the seeing each other during holidays, with the making sure the children are doing well in school, and the begging every girl I'm intimate with to wear a Maria Shriver mask, which I made myself, as I make passionate sex on her while crying out, "How could I have thrown this away?" through tear-filled eyeballs and things of this nature.
Arnold, clearly you aren't over Maria and you want her back. This isn't healthy.
Nonsense. I've completely moved on. With the seeing other people and the forming new relationships and the befriending an eccentric scientist on the off chance that he develops a flux capacitor so I can go back in time and stop myself from making intercourse with the maid and all of this, or perhaps finding a way to get some of her DNA and clone her like the dinosaurs in that dinosaur movie, and maybe this time I won't ruin everything by waving my Schwanzenverse at the catcher's mid-faced maid and things of this nature.
All right, this is getting pretty sad, Arnold.
I don't agree with you, Mark. You know, my life is awesome with the swinging bachelor pad and the late nights out with the ladies and the slamming of my own hand in the car door just so I can feel something, anything, because ever since my sweet skeletal Maria walked out of my life, I've been dead inside, and the willingness to do anything to win her back, up to and including watching her be romantic with her boyfriend is some sort of bizarre eye-for-an-eye punishment scenario. I don't care. I just want to feel her icy cold, yet the opposite of tender touch again, and things of this nature and all of this and whatnot.
Well, listen, best of luck to you, Arnold. I hope you find a way to pick up the pieces.
Hasta la vista, my pride and feeling of self-worth. Ah!
Arnold, thank you for calling in.
You're welcome in all of this.
All of what?
This.
What's this?
Things of this nature.
Things of what nature?
All of this and these things.
All of what things?
Of this nature.
Please hang up, Arnold.
California.
What about it?
Nothing. I just like to say it and all of this.
Goodbye, Arnold.
Ah!
All right, let's go to the phones. Joanne has called us from L.A. Good morning, Joanne.
Hi, Mark. How are you? Good morning.
Really good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm sitting in traffic, driving to work, and I just wanted to say thank you for making my drive pleasant, and I love listening to you guys in the morning. I think you're great.
What do you, thank you, what do you do for a living?
I'm a nurse. I work
nurse.
In the ER at the County USC.
Oh, wow.
What have I always said about nurses, Gina?
That they're down for it whenever.
They are the horniest group of people on the earth. Joanne, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the absolute most, what kind of slut are you?
Oh, my God.
I'm not that slutty.
Too bad.
She's a modest one.
Well, let me tell you, Daryl Strawberry admitted in his book that he had sex with a girl in the locker room during a baseball game. Now, what kind of slut are you that you're going to bang a professional baseball player in the locker? I defend it. Sluts make the world go round. Love them all.
They do, don't they?
Well, wow. Joanne, you're saying you're not slutty, but I...
The whole baseball team was watching.
That's a slutty comment. Well, Joanne, listen, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Enjoy your nursing, and we'll talk to you. Are you going to join us at the Orange County Fair this weekend?
I have to work.
Oh.
Well, then maybe next year. But listen, thank you for listening, Joanne.
Thank you. Have a great day.
We are joined now by Ian Ziering. He's starring in Sharknado, The Fourth Awakens. It premieres Sunday, July 31st, 8 p.m. on Sci-Fi. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Really good. Now, he also played Steve Sanders on Beverly Hills 90210. One of my best buddies is Luke Perry.
I love Luke. Very dear friend of mine, too. I've known him for, maybe almost 30 years now.
Wow.
Now, Ian, I got to ask you, and I mean this in the best way possible. When you were first doing the first Sharknado, you were filming it. Was there part of you that was thinking, this may wind up being the biggest, dumbest thing I've ever done? Because this is a movie about a tornado with great white sharks in it.
Right. I was convinced this was the dumbest thing I've ever done. Oh, absolutely. But
now,
you know what?
Yeah.
I had to do it. It was the beginning of January, and I needed to make my quota to receive the insurance from SAG, and I was having a baby a few months later, so I basically took one for the team.
God love you. Well, that's so great.
Were you at all surprised when it became this gigantic thing that everybody had to watch?
Shocked. From what we shot to what was delivered was such a complete departure that I was amazed. I didn't see Sharknado till the day after it first aired. I was in Las Vegas working with the Chippendales at the time. And there was this huge groundswell of excitement for this movie that I thought was really just garbage. I really was hoping this movie would disappear. I was hoping nobody would ever see it, that it would just go away, and it turned into Sharknado. And then when I saw it, I realized, wow, they really did a great job with the visual effects. And, you know, that's 99% of the movie. You know, I'm swinging my chainsaw. They better not throw a guppy at me. They better take a big shark. And I didn't have that trust. They didn't have the money and the budget to accomplish what really was there on the page. But magically, the safety net appeared in a perfectly delicious, campy, low-budget sci-fi way. They produced a movie that really has created its own genre. It's a fun movie.
It's great.
Now everyone's in on the joke except the actors in the movie.
And now, right? Here you are on Mark in the Morning promoting the fourth one.
Right. Again, still shocked. Something that really wasn't supposed to happen. This was supposed to just go away quietly. But now it's a global phenomenon. There's people all over the world, not just the United States, that are digging on this movie. We've got celebrities from Germany. We've got celebrities from Spain. You know, we might not recognize them here in the United States, but when the movie airs in those countries, people are going to go nuts.
Now, Ian, next week, Luke Perry is coming in to the show. If you're in town and not doing anything, I would like you to consider to come in and join Luke, and let's just chat, and you can talk about the movie some more.
You know what? How about this? I have such a crazy press schedule with the lead-up. You tell Luke to get me on the phone. I'd be happy to chat with you guys, but I know I'm running around like crazy. I'll be in New York, but I always have time for Luke and you guys. Just tell him to call me on the phone. Put me on the phone. I'd be happy to. Are you kidding?
And can we talk maybe a little more Chippendales next time?
Yeah, whatever you got. Great. I'm going to hear some theme music. Bow, bow. get the mirror ball rolling and we're off.
Oh, hell yes.
Ian is starring in Sharknado, The Fourth Awakens, premieres Sunday night, July 31st at 8 p.m. on Sci-Fi. Ian, I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate you guys. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. Well, that was fun.
That was awesome.
Now, it went against the rule. There was a little bit of a delay, but it wasn't. But we wouldn't have got that
but
funny.
He had the energy, and it was okay.
Yeah.
Mark, by the way, have you noticed the whole title? Read the whole title again to Sharknado.
Sharknado, The Fourth Awakens, premieres Sunday, July 31st at 8 p.m. on Sci-Fi. The Fourth Awakens.
That's funny.
How so?
He doesn't get it yet.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. So it's like The Force Awakens, Star Wars.
Oh.
That's funny.
Okay. All right.
That's the whole point of the movie.
I'm sorry. I wasn't in my Star Wars genre.
Well, you should be.
All right. Now, I was going to play some theme music with this, but I'm not because it'll give you a hint. I want to know, what was their excuse? That's the name of this.
Mm.
You ready? Talk about riding dirty. A Missouri couple was arrested after allegedly riding a lawnmower naked. Jasper County Sheriff's Detective Tim Williams says 55-year-old man and a 40-year-old woman admitted. So, how at 2 in the morning can a couple, a 55-year-old guy and a 40-year-old woman, be naked on a lawnmower? What was their excuse they gave to the cop?
Pagan ritual.
No. Why would somebody be naked at 1 o'clock in the morning? The lawnmower has very little to do with
okay,
it.
Okay. Skinny dipping.
That is their exact excuse. They said they went skinny dipping and somebody stole their clothes.
They had to ride back on their John Deere.
Right.
That's great.
That's they're in jail. He didn't buy it. Because who's going to steal somebody's clothes at 1 o'clock in the morning? Who wants that crap?
I don't. That's yes. Yes to all of that.
888-696-1003 if you would like to play 5 seconds for $5. Couple of things. Season 7 of Game of Thrones will return next summer, not in the spring as usual.
No!
HBO's also confirmed that next season, they will only do 7 episodes, not 10.
Why do they hate their viewers? We've been so loyal for so long.
Well, I think my guess is these things are not cheap to make.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I mean, what is it? The zombie AMC.
Walking Dead.
In season 2, they went almost zombie-less. Because it's so expensive to hire 50 actors,
right,
feed them, pay them, and then put them in zombie makeup.
That's true.
Everybody started bitching, so season 3, the zombies were back.
And it's funny you should say that, because my exact reason for why this is probably happening, they have their own zombies on Game of Thrones called the White Walkers, and that's getting kind of expensive, I bet, too.
Also, one last thing, Michelle Obama's turn on Carpool Karaoke airs tomorrow night on the Late Late Show. So be on that, Mikey. Mark, no.
Amazing.
Take two.
Is it obvious I'm reading a script?
Uh-huh.
I said my
now.
Own name.
Drop page.
In mere moments, it's the contest that everybody's talking about around the water cooler. 5 seconds for $5. How much is it, Gina?
5 doubloons.
But first, let's try to give away $1,000. It's the classic rock campaign bribe, because bribing people is how you get things done in the good old U.S. of A.
You have 15 minutes to text WALL to this number, 72881. Messaging and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. All our Mark in the Morning listeners 18 years of age and older in all 50 states are eligible. We'll have more bribes for our L.A. listeners at 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. Once again, the super secret code word is WALL. And the number to text to be in the drawing for $1,000 is 72881.
Be proud, accept our bribe, and vote for classic rock at work. This is America, damn it.
5 seconds for $5.
It's huge. Everybody's talking about. Let's go to Marcus calling from, where do you live, Marcus?
I live in Oceano, California, but I'm actually working in Napomo.
What do you do?
I'm a compliance coordinator / warehouse supervisor.
What do you make a year?
About 60.
That's not bad.
That's not too bad.
Did you just wake up?
No. I've been at work for an hour already.
Are you talking low so that your boss won't hear you on the phone?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that I understand. You married with kids?
Married 20 years and 5 kids.
Wow.
Wow. Marcus is doing some banging. Nice. Yeah, yeah. Well, congratulations on that, Marcus. Do you know how this game works?
I do.
I'm going to ask you a question. If you answer it correctly, you get $5. If you don't, tomorrow's question is worth $10.
he had to count it up in his head real quick.
Dude, I've been up since 1.
Yeah.
Math doesn't comply.
Nope.
When you've been up. All right, Marcus, you ready?
Here we go.
All right. I say that. You don't say that. I say that. Here we go. What are the names of Ned Flanders' kids on The Simpsons?
Oh, Jesus.
No.
If my wife was here, she'd know this.
Shana, do you know?
No, that's a hard one, and it's everybody knows all the characters on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
It's Rod and Todd.
Rod and
yes,
Todd.
Rod and Todd. Oh, crap.
Hey, Marcus, what do you enjoy about Mark in the morning?
Everything.
There's no negative? There's nothing at all that you don't like? Like Gina. You like her?
I love Gina.
Oh, I love you too, Marcus.
Well, Marcus, listen, we appreciate you listening. We know there's a lot of people you could go and listen to, but you choose us, and we thank you for that.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
He's easily entertained. Wow. All right, here we go. Now, Mikey is already pissed and opinionated about this. A list of the 10 best guitar players from L.A. Number 10, Mick Mars of, is this right?
Yeah, Motley Crue. And okay. It's completely wrong.
What? Why is that?
I don't think he's that great. Let's see what the rest of the list shows. I don't agree so far.
Number 9.
That didn't take
Frank
long.
Frank Zappa. I never knew that he was revered.
Oh, yeah, his guitar work is incredible. I didn't know he was originally from L.A., but maybe just he became an L.A. person.
Number 8, Roger McGuinn of the Byrds. And I had to figure it out. Byrds is spelled B-Y-R-D.
Yep.
Yeah.
I couldn't find
it. You like
it,
the Byrds.
Yeah. Number 7, Tom Morello, Black Sabbath, or Ozzy.
Yeah, no.
Neither.
Turn that off.
Uh-oh.
Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, sorry. All right, so you're going to have to help me on number 6. Number 6. John Frusciante.
He was the Chili Peppers' second guitarist after Hillel something passed away. Frusciante's great. I'm fine with that one.
This one surprised me. I don't know why, because I don't know much about it. But number 5, Lita Ford.
Yeah.
I
don't know why that's there.
I honestly didn't know she played guitar.
Yeah.
She's a singer.
Good guitarist, but top 5 of L.A. guitarists?
Is it because she's a girl, you pig?
No, I just... there's nothing extraordinary about it.
Is this? Did you just pick this list so Mikey could bitch for 6 minutes?
Well, he sent it to me.
No.
And I wanted to run it because he is... Now, I don't think anybody has a problem with number 4. Slash.
But see, this is where I disagree. He should be top 3. Are you kidding me?
Oh my God, it's never enough!
And, wow, check it out. Number 3 we had on the anniversary stage.
Yep.
Robbie Krieger. Nice. Really?
Yeah, I'd put him number 2.
Number 2.
All aboard!
Randy Rhoads.
Yeah, great. Him and Eddie Van Halen are, both invented like that late 70s, early 80s kind of sound. That's them. I mean, they both were at the same time creating a very similar sound.
We're looking at a list of the top 10 best guitarists from LA. I don't think anybody's going to complain about number 1. Eddie Van Halen.
Oh.
But you would have had Slash before Robbie Krieger.
So I would have had. See, it's so hard. I guess I would have had Slash at 3, Krieger maybe at 4. I don't think Randy Rhoads is 2. I think Randy Rhoads is maybe 5 in place of Lita. I do think Eddie's 1, of course. But, I think 3-2-1 is Slash, Krieger, and Eddie, my opinion.
Wow. I mean, seriously, wow. Listen to that.
Yeah.
I can barely ride a bicycle. If you're looking for a reason to open a bottle of wine tonight, here it is. New data reveals that couples with the same drinking habits tend to be happier than couples where only one partner drinks. They analyzed survey responses from 2,700 married couples over a 10-year period. The results showed that when wives drank but the husband didn't, the wives report they were dissatisfied with their marriage.
Ooh.
Dr. Kiara Burdett says, quote, "We're not sure why this is happening, but it could be that couples that do more leisure time activities together have better marital quality."
Well, Mark, you and Linda have a lot of leisure activity time. You play what is that horrible card game? Corners.
King's Corner?
Yeah, you do that, and you watch TV, and you hang out by the boat, and all this awesome stuff. You drink scotch. Does Linda drink at all?
Oh, yeah.
She does?
Oh, yeah.
Is she a scotch gal?
She'll have some, but she's mostly, a white wine drinker.
Oh, it's very refreshing in the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a fan?
Well, I don't have a vagina, so it's just not my bag. Not bad. I'm going to go with scotch. All right, so let's talk this through. Yesterday, we were supposed to talk with Tara Reid about Sharknado. So then we get word that she has canceled her entire tour. Apparently what happened is she was on with Jenny McCarthy. Does Jenny have a podcast or something?
She has a serious show.
Okay, so she was on with Jenny, and apparently it didn't go well. It became, I heard, catfightish. Mm-hmm. Now, I've not heard this footage. Danny, talk us through.
All right. So basically, the entire interview is about 2.5 minutes, and I cut it up into 2 segments. And it's pretty self-explanatory. So here we go.
I have to talk to you about Marriage Bootcamp because I love you on that show. But are you glad you did it? Are you glad that you did Marriage
Bootcamp? I think the whole thing's absolutely so stupid and silly. And, we're not even talking about it because there's confusing things about it. So, right now, we're just talking about Sharknado. So, it's not even...
So someone's pissed off at them.
It's not worth the time to talk about.
Oh, my God, but I loved it so much. Are you pissed off?
Too. No, that's
Are you pissed off at the people's comments or just the show in general?
Babe, I asked you, please, let's not talk about this show. We're all here about Sharknado.
Okay, so let's talk about Sharknado.
And then they went on to talk about Sharknado for about 30 seconds and then went back into this.
Now, people talked about your surgeries before. Are you still going through surgeries or are you past them?
No, I haven't had any surgery for a while, Jenny.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you do.
And I'm glad that you've been kind of open about it because I hate when people, say, no, I've never done anything. And you've been kind of pretty open about things going wrong, but it's... Hi, Tara.
I'm here.
Oh, okay, good. I thought you were talking to somebody else. So you look great now. So you're good and done not moving forward with plastic surgery.
I think I made that clear about 100 times. I know.
I didn't hear that 100 times. I'm so sorry.
Maybe this you only read the bad things, but I've been made that really clear so many years. But
so does
know,
it
read what you want to read? But I think it was really nice talking to you, and really good luck with your show. And
good luck to you too. Awesome. And I'm so excited about Sharknado, and I hope you stay married. And I hope
you stay married too. I'm sure he's a nice guy.
I will, and I hope your knees get a little wobblier than they already are. So
I think
have
my
a good
knees.
Day.
Oh yeah, I hope your get even nicer because they're amazing. Same guy
they
did
are.
Mine, right?
Thank you. Yes,
same fantastic.
Yes. Same guy.
I'll always use your advice. You're the best. Bye.
Love you, Tara. Good luck with Sharknado 18.
Wow.
Okay. All right. All right. First of all, that was phenomenally uncomfortable. My opinion, Jenny was not the bad guy here.
Really?
Jenny McCarthy.
I don't know.
she got pissed at the end. Did you? So you thought it was all Jenny and not Tara?
Well, Jenny kept pushing, and Tara said, you know, let's talk about Sharknado. You know, do more than 30 seconds of Sharknado. And she kept pushing about the plastic surgery and all that. That's, come on, dude.
Well, when you go on and you're known for something else or you're known for other things, you got to play ball. You got to have a, you know, a laugh it off, have a conversation. Not just, if you shut it down, Jenny's just going to keep tugging at that thread.
Nah, I don't know.
Jenny said she, hang on, let me get some background. No. Jenny said she loved whatever show that Tara Reid was on, and Tara just flatly refused to talk about the show.
Yeah, I haven't seen that show, but from the way it sounded like there may have been some bad blood or some controversy that Tara didn't want to get into about couples therapy. I don't know, anybody, any couples therapy watchers?
I don't know. I have no idea.
No.
Don't
even know
I don't even know what it is.
Yeah. It's a reality show. You go on with your husband, your boyfriend, you air all your grievances. It's very comfortable.
Yeah. Good luck on your marriages, y'all.
Yeah, that was whoo.
Shoo.
Look, here's a perfect example. You interviewed Ian Ziering, and you briefly brought up 90210, but you know that's not what he was in for.
Sure.
And so you moved right on to Sharknado.
And
Jenny just went right back to the thing that she didn't want to didn't want
to
talk about.
And to Mikey's point, Ian brought up Chippendales.
Yeah.
That was his doing.
Well, that clip we just heard is now, I don't want to say it's up there with the creepy guy. What's his name?
Dimitri. Let the romance begin.
Here's how this is going to work. That was pretty great. Danny, make sure we don't lose that footage.
Yeah, you got it. We got it.
But I guess that's the difference between men doing that and women doing that. Because a man, I think, would just say, screw you, and hang up the phone. But women, for whatever reason, go, oh, I love you. Gotta go. Bye.
A good get at the end with Jenny McCarthy. Good luck on Sharknado 18.
Oh, man. Poor ladies.
All right, real quickly. We're going to be at the Orange County Fair this coming Saturday, noon to 3, Mark in the morning, Andy in the afternoon. Uncle Joe will be there. Chick on the Street will be there. We're going to open up with a fill in the blank. Then Matt's band Big Language will play. Listener talent and the Mark's Back shirt will be on display on a mannequin protected by Killer the Goat. So make your plans. We've got the Heritage Stage. Uncle Joe was there this weekend. He said it's a gorgeous area. 800 seats. If you want to guarantee that you get a chair, the fair opens at 10 and you can just go to the Heritage and sit down. Me, Gina, Andy, Christian, Uncle Joe, Chick on the Street, and Josh the Fleeganator will be there. Katie and Josh are going to sample some of the fair food. So we got a whole bunch of stuff. We will see you Saturday noon, Orange County Fair. Let's find out what's trending. Mikey's pissed at Gina because she talked during the last part of the commercial. But let's go ahead. Let's get out of that. Here's trending with Gina Grant.
May I speak now?
Yes. No. Okay, now.
Thanks. Not only is Melania Trump being accused of plagiarizing Michelle Obama's speech, but she might also have stolen from Rick Astley. Now, listen to the comparison from these clips. Hit Melania.
Okay. He will never, ever give up. And most importantly, he will never, ever let you down.
What does that sound like? Never gonna give up. Never gonna let you down. When I heard this, I freaked out last night. I go, wait a second, did she just quote Rick Astley? That was the best part of the whole night. It was great.
It sounds to me like she quoted everybody.
Yeah, she was taking the best from a little bit of everybody. SNL and Ghostbusters star Leslie Jones announced that she quit Twitter last night due to haters and bullies that have been bothering her. This got the hashtag #LoveForLeslie trending if you're wanting to participate in that. And here's what's trending in sports. Angels beat the Rangers 9-5 last night. I don't think Mikey really cares.
Four in a row,
oh,
baby.
No, he does. I'm sorry.
We're back.
I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. May I?
Yes, continue.
Who in Elvis's life got in trouble on this day in 1995? Mark will reveal it in 8 Reasons Today Doesn't Suck at 7:34. First, Tom Petty. This is Mark in the Morning.
And now, 8 Reasons Today Doesn't Suck.
1.
Now, if you didn't know this, this is kind of cool. Brian May is 69 today. The guitarist was at work on an advanced degree in astrophysics.
What?
When he co-founded Queen as an outgrowth of a prior band called Smile. He finally completed his dissertation in 2007 and received his doctorate in 2008. In addition to continuing to lead Queen with drummer Roger Taylor, May is an author, inventor, academic, activist, and solo artist.
So he's like Stuart Copeland smart.
He's a doctor.
Wow.
Astrophysicist.
All right.
Two.
One of our best actors, Benedict Cumberbatch, is 40 today.
Go to sleep. And when we wake up, I'm going to hit that thing again.
I love that.
Three.
It was on this day in 1995, Elvis Presley's former doctor, Dr. George Nikolaopoulos, loses his medical license for being, quote, too liberal in prescribing addictive drugs to the king.
Four.
It was on this day in 1980, Billy Joel gets his first number one in Billboard as It's Still Rock and Roll to Me begins a 2-week run on top of the charts.
Tab collars, welcome back to the age of jive.
Five.
It was on this day in 1975 that Paul McCartney has his fourth post-Beatle number one hit with Listen to What the Man Said.
Anytime, any day, you can hear the people say.
Six.
Help, I need somebody. Help.
And as he's hitting number one back in 1965, on this day, the Beatles record Help. When
I was young, one of your summer songs.
That's right.
I never needed anybody's help in any way.
Seven.
It was on this day back in 1946, Marilyn Monroe does her screen test, and the rest is history. Now, Mikey said that yesterday in Reasons, I missed an Elvis-related story. So,
Pete.
So yesterday, in 1953, Elvis Presley made his very first recording, and it was a gift to his mom. Do you know what the song was?
Of course I know what the song was. It's My Happiness.
Yep. That was yesterday. His first ever. I mean,
I love how angry you are about it, Mark.
I mean, that's the beginning of his career was right there.
Here it is. Yep. He paid $4 to make this for his mother.
Evening shadows make me blue. When each weary day is through. How I long to be with you, my happiness.
You can kind of hear what, I mean, he had it right there.
Yeah.
It needed to be. All right, let's go to Kevin. Oh, Kevin has been on hold for 2 hours.
Oh, no.
And I just engaged him, and he's gone. Oh, well.
We tried.
Tried our damnedest is what we did. Ice baby.
No.
Oh, dude.
Ice baby.
Too cold.
Kick it.
All right, stop.
Mikey makes me sit here and listen to the last finger snap.
Yep.
I genuinely don't like you. Let's talk it through.
Feelings are mutual.
Last night was the opening night of the Republican National Convention, and normally the nominee appears on the very last night. Mm-hmm. Not Trump. He decided to come out and introduce his wife, the featured speaker.
Thank you. We love you. Thank you very much. We're going to win. We're going to win so big. Thank you very much.
Now, here's what everybody's talking about. Melania came out and spoke. And they're saying that she plagiarized Michelle Obama from a speech that she gave at the Democratic convention in 2008. Michelle is the first voice you'll hear. You listen and see if you think this is plagiarism.
Barack and I were raised with so many of the same values. Like, you work hard for what you want in life. That your word is your bond, that you do what you say you're gonna do.
My parents impressed on me the values that you work hard for what you want in life. that your word is your bond, and you do what you say and keep your promise.
That you treat people with dignity and respect, even if you don't know them, and even if you don't agree with them.
That you treat people with respect. They taught and showed me values and morals in their daily life. That is a lesson that I continue to pass along to our son. And we need to pass those lessons on to the many generations to follow.
And Barack and I set out to build lives guided by these values and to pass them on to the next generation, because we want our children and all children in this nation to know that the only limit to the height of your achievements is the reach of your dreams and your willingness to work hard for them.
Because we want our children in this nation to know that the only limit to your achievements is the strength of your dreams and your willingness to work for them.
She said on Good Morning America that she wrote it. She had a little bit of help.
Oh, come now, Melania.
Plagiarism or accident?
Well, we'd first have to sign off on the idea that she wrote it. So if she did, I would say, yeah, she studied a lot of other first lady speeches. But I personally, if my husband was running, I wouldn't write my speech. I'd say, give me the best speechwriter you got, and I'll read whatever he says. So, yeah, I'm sure it was lifted. I doubt she was the author behind it.
We're talking about the opening night of the Republican National Convention. Charles in Charge was there.
But for you first-time voters, it's important for you to know what it means to be an American.
And Rudy Giuliani got up and decided to yell into the mic.
Who would trust Hillary Clinton to protect them? I wouldn't. Would you?
He went full Bernie.
Donald Trump will change all of that and more. In short, he will lead by leading, not by following. You know Donald Trump will secure our borders. His opponent has had her chance to do this, and she has failed. Hillary Clinton is for open borders.
Now, I didn't watch any of it, but I saw footage, and there were people sitting in the pit, and they were yelling while people were speaking. Are those Republicans who don't agree with Trump's selection, or are they Democrats?
Wait, were they yelling? I mean, weren't they just sort of being spirited? I think they were all fans, and they just wanted to get involved. Did they seem like they were booing?
One of them had a mic, and he was yelling stuff into it.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
What channel were you watching?
I saw clips on Good Morning America.
Oh.
And they were talking about him.
Oh, I didn't see that. It was a very spirited event. Lots of yeehaws, lots of woohoos, but I didn't see that part.
Was there any protesting?
There was one that they've highlighted with a woman in the, it's called the pink, what? The pink something, basically an anti-war group, and she was sitting there with a big banner that said "Refugees Welcome" and screaming, and she got escorted out. I don't know who else got escorted out. I haven't. There wasn't a lot of news about that. Mm-hmm. In fact, it would be hard to escort people out because there was a lot of empty seats.
Why?
I don't know. I think that, first of all, remember, there's a 3-hour time difference. They wanted to see Melania. She didn't go on till, 10:30 at night their time. And after she went on, they all blew out of there, I think.
Well, did I hear correctly that 100 naked women appeared at the convention to boycott?
You did.
Any of them hot?
Yeah.
Cleveland,
good looking. Oh, Mikey.
We're waiting for Alex Michelson. He is with ABC 7 News. He is in Cleveland at the Republican Convention Center. And there was a miscommunication on the time, but hopefully we'll have Alex here in a minute to tell us exactly what was going on inside the room. Yes, Jean.
You know, one thing, because I was on Twitter the whole night, my boyfriend and I were both tweeting jokes and just watching. And we'll do the same thing for the DNC. It was, you know, all the comedians were doing it. It was a lot of fun. But the one thing I didn't agree with people tweeting, and I didn't personally do it, was people making fun of Melania's
accent and the fact that English is her second language. What I did tweet was, how many languages does your punk ass speak? Because I'm pretty sure it's almost one. Not even a full one. So yeah, we'll probably make fun and we'll do, you know, I'll do a horrible Melania impression on here. But in general, you know, that's just me doing a bad impression. But I don't think I don't get where the joke is to make fun of somebody who speaks five languages.
I'm struggling with English. All right, dig this. Tony Schwartz, the ghostwriter of Donald Trump's best-selling novel Art of the Deal, now regrets his involvement. In a blistering interview with The New Yorker, he said, quote, I put lipstick on a pig. I feel a deep sense of remorse that I contributed to presenting Trump in a way that brought him wider attention and made him more appealing than he is. I genuinely believe that if Trump wins and gets the nuclear codes, there is an excellent possibility it will lead to the end of civilization.
Oh, my.
Schwartz continues, it's impossible to keep Trump focused on any topic other than his own self-grandeur. And more than for a few minutes. If he had to be briefed on a crisis in the Situation Room, it would be impossible to imagine him paying attention.
Oy.
Holy crap.
And this is by somebody who got to know him pretty, pretty well.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
Did you watch the convention?
I watched the whole thing. Except for whatever part you saw.
And?
And it was entertaining. I thought it was fun to watch. It was cool to see, you know, all the speakers. Hey, I got to see Antonio Sabato Jr. So it was worth it.
All right, now we're now joined by Alex Michelson. He is with ABC7. He is in Cleveland covering the Republican convention. Alex, sorry about the confusion on times. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Really good. So you were in the room last night. Give us an idea as to what was going on, what you witnessed.
Well, there's a tremendous amount of excitement, especially with the California delegation, because a lot of the other delegations are made up of people that supported Ted Cruz or John Kasich or other Marco Rubio, other people. The California delegation is 100% Donald Trump supporters. And because of that, they are amongst his most loyal supporters. The way that they pick delegates in California is the campaign gets to hand-pick the delegates. So these are people that the Trump campaign wanted there. They put them in the front row, and they were incredibly loud and excited to be there, especially when Donald Trump came on stage. It's very unusual for the nominee to come on stage on night one. Usually that's just reserved for the final night. But Donald Trump, ever the showman, comes out with in silhouette with fog coming out and it's like a big production, out of almost like a reality show or a wrestling event. And the crowd really, really went crazy for that.
What about protesters? Was there much of that going on?
Well, there wasn't as much as some people had feared, at least not yet. And one of the big reasons for that is security. It is so intense, so hard to get around. It takes about an hour to get into the building because you have to go through multiple security checkpoints. There's about a mile and a half around the arena that's essentially locked down, where you can't drive, where you have to go through multiple checkpoints. There are police, 3,500 police officers on the ground. There are Homeland Security officers that are here. So basically everywhere you look, there are multiple law enforcement officials. Because of that, it's very hard to get anywhere. It's hard to find a parking spot. And it's hard to do the actual physical, logistical act of protesting to get in place to create a big crowd. And so I think that is really tamping down the protests, at least so far. And Cleveland reminds me a lot of the way L.A. was during Carmageddon, where there's so much hype and so much buildup that people just say, I don't want any part of this. I'm getting out of town. So many of the local Clevelanders aren't even around. A lot of the downtown businesses are locked up because they were fearing the protests. And because of that, a lot of the Cleveland people are happy that there isn't as much traffic as usual because
now,
a lot of people simply aren't there.
Alex, I do apologize because we've run out of time because of the glitch of when you were to call. Could we get together one more time this week and just share what you're seeing in there in Cleveland?
Sure, be happy to, and appreciate it. And if anybody's interested, they can watch us all day on ABC7 and abc7.com/live. Yes,
sir. And Gina, get this. Alex has 5 Emmy Awards. I've only got 1.
You guys, shut up, Mark.
Thanks, Alex.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport. The thrill of victory. And the agony of defeat.
So, Todd, Johnny Manziel says he's not done, but I don't think it's up to him.
Well, it's not up to him. I mean, he could work out all he wants, and that's what he says he's doing right now. He's posting some Instagram messages, social media, that he's working out hard and that he's not done playing. His career is not over with, but at the same time, he says, I'm not going to vow I'm not going to drink again, though, either. So, you know, he says, I'm not done partying. I'm just going to work out hard and try to get back in football. I like the idea last week. The commissioner of the AFL, the Arena Football League, said, hey, if we can be a path for you to get back to the NFL, come to the Arena Football League. Mm. If I were Johnny Manziel, I would take that up. Now, one thing, when he does go back to the NFL, he has to sit out his first 4 games because he does have a suspension for substance abuse. So there you go.
He had his chance when he first got drafted, screwed that up, and then he said, I'm all better now, I'm good, I'm focused, I'm in, and then he screwed that up.
And Jamarcus Russell said the same thing, you know what I mean? So we've seen it before where players come in, highly touted, mess up, and, you know, sometimes that window of opportunity is just a small little window, but you got to take advantage of it.
Well, if I were on a draft board for a team, if I'm looking at a guy, no matter how talented he is, if he had off-the-field issues, he is off my draft board.
Yeah, absolutely, because there's too much risk. You're paying these guys too much money. There's too much risk they're going to fall off. Now, you know, the 2 top quarterbacks from last year, Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, what's their update now as they get ready to go into their second season? They say Jameis Winston has lost a lot of his baby fat. He's leaner and stronger, and Marcus Mariota working on injury prevention. You know, he's had some knee issues because he runs around and takes some shots, so he's working on that. And, Mark, you know, this guy, Charles Tillman, the Bears, and he was with the Carolina Panthers last year, a cornerback, retired after 13 seasons. He was nicknamed the Peanut, little guy, cornerback. but he had what he called the Peanut Punch, and that is he would punch footballs and force fumbles. In his 13 years, he forced 44 fumbles and 38 interceptions. The 44 forced fumbles is far more than any other defensive back during that time. So, Peanut, we'll miss you.
Yeah.
And I love this one, too. You know, we talked a little bit yesterday about the data chips that they want to put in the footballs. One, they say that the data chip, could it detect what the pounds per square inch inflation rate of a football is? And they said, not yet, but if the league wants it, they can deliver it. So there would be no more question about Deflategate. But the other thing that they can do with this, and we were talking about yesterday, this way they can tell how much are they making field goals by. So if we narrowed the field goals by 2 feet on each side, how many field goals or extra points would it eliminate? But they can also say, they can also tell what the velocity of a thrown football is. They can tell you what the velocity of a kickball is. They can tell you how fast the player is running because the chip is in the ball and it tells you how fast he's running. That would add to a television broadcast so much, I think, don't you?
I
think that'd be cool.
The only thing that I thought about yesterday when you were saying putting a chip inside the football is already on a delicate balance. And would we need to be concerned that the minor weight of a microchip would throw the ball off balance?
I don't think so. I think they've already got them in soccer balls. It certainly doesn't affect there. So,
wow, that's really cool.
I think it'd be cool. Hey, college football now, real quick. The first Saturday of college football, okay, which is September 3rd, I believe, something like that. But the first Saturday, listen to the games, Mark. Oklahoma against Houston. UCLA at Texas A&M. LSU against Wisconsin at Lambeau Field. Clemson at Auburn. And the big one, USC versus Alabama at AT&T Stadium.
Wow.
I mean, I can't wait for college football.
Yeah.
And finally to Major League Baseball. Hey, Danny. I mean, Mikey. Yeah. Your Angels. Yeah, 7-5 winners over Texas.
No,
they've
no.
won 4 in a row. They were
9-5.
Down 9-5. Yep. That's right, 9-5. They were down 4 runs. They came back and won the game. And Mike Trout had his 19th home run of the season, a 3-run shot. And how do they pronounce him? Is it G-Mon Choi? His first Major League home run. How about that? Yeah. And they got the cold shoulder and the cold treatment when he came back to the dugout, which is what you do give rookies.
Yeah.
That's It in Sports, brought to you by Frontier Toyota in Valencia. No cold shoulder at Frontier Toyota. They don't close deals. They open relationships. FrontierToyota.com.
Coming up, Nancy Cartwright. She is the voice of Bart Simpson. That is at 20 minutes after 8. So Nancy Cartwright, the voice of Bart Simpson, is in the room, and Nancy and I have worked together on many occasions. She's been on the show for years and years and years, and she said to me when she first walked in the room, she said, do you remember the last time we worked together? And I said, no. Nancy, tell them what you said.
December 11th, 1998. It was memorable because it was at the Museum of Radio and Broadcasting, Pasadena, and we were doing a live performance, and you had so many stars on that. There were so many people guest appearance, and it was a Christmas carol. And
well, what we used to do, it started out, we would do it at Halloween. We would get some of the original Vox scripts from Mystery Radio from the 40s.
So awesome.
And we would bring in actors to reenact the parts. We had a live orchestra, live Foley.
Wow. Live audience.
And you were Tiny Tim from Christmas Carol. That is crazy great. And those were so much fun. But then one of the actors complained because we weren't paying anybody. We were just doing it for free. Do you remember Mrs. Kravitz from Bewitched, the next door neighbor?
I do.
She complained.
About
to
what?
Say, that we weren't paying any of the actors and we had to shut it down. We
get couldn't even banned.
You know, it was for charity, wasn't it? It was like I think the monies went towards several nonprofit organizations to help people.
Oh, Mark, your speedboat's a nonprofit organization?
No, there was never any money generated. We paid for the production, but there was never money. It was free to everybody. So,
well, thanks, Mrs. Kravitz. It was just a, favored nations. Nobody gets nothing.
Now, Nancy is in here because the Chuck Jones Gallery is going to host the first ever art exhibition for Nancy's work during Comic-Con. And I wanted to quickly tell my Chuck Jones story. He was on Mark and Brian, 20 times. And every time, first of all, he always wore his bow tie. He always had a bow tie, a suit. And he would bring actual art, sell art from the cartoons. And what this is, it is a clear piece of paper, and the artists draw the picture on that, and then when you move it around, the next one is slightly different. He would bring in autographed cells every time he came.
Wow. Such a sweetheart.
I have a room filled with about 20 of these actual art cells.
Wow.
From Looney Tunes.
He was such a sweet guy. And for those out there that don't recognize the name Chuck Jones, he was a director, he was a writer, producer, but mostly known for directing and creating characters like Wile E. Coyote and Pepe Le Pew. And he did Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck and just old, Merry Melodies. And just kind of without him, Simpsons wouldn't even be here without the contributions that he did, with Looney Tunes and Warner Brothers.
Looney Tunes, Warner Brothers, to me, that is still the greatest cartoon ever. It doesn't matter which one you're watching, whether it's Bugs Bunny or Daffy Duck, or actually Daffy is my... Billy Bob Thornton said something really great. He said, most of us think that we're Bugs Bunny, when in reality, the majority of us are Daffy Duck. Now, Nancy, the voice of Bart Simpson, you've been doing that 20 how many years?
Well, we're in our 28th year.
Good God.
I know, right? Bart's going to be a grandma.
So you guys lay down the vocal track first, and then the animation comes, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
So start to finish, how long does it take to make an episode of The Simpsons?
In completion, it takes between 5 and 6 months to do one episode. Because there's so many different variables to it in production. First the writing, and then we lay it down, and then they've got to edit it down to, 4 hours of voice recording. They edit it down to like 21 minutes. And then there's, I guess, about 5 or 6 minutes of just airtime without any speaking. And then there's the title and the credits at the end and commercials in the middle to make a half an hour. But to do the show, so once it's edited, then it goes over to Film Roman and they start the animation process. And you know, particular animators excel in certain areas, and they just do their job. They put their headset on and they match our voices to picture, and there you go. And then about 5 months later, the actors are brought in again if there's any cleanup that has to be done in post-production. Either new lines have been added, because the standard on The Simpsons, and part of the reason why it remains so successful, standard and quality is so high. You know, Jim and Matt are still very much engaged with it, and so we replace voices and then do some ADR looping to replace what didn't quite match with the animation.
If you just joined us, we're speaking with Nancy Cartwright. She is the voice of Bart Simpson. And Bart's not the only voice you do. You do others, correct?
That's right. So I sort of can sound like Bart, and it's very easy to slip into that voice. And you know, I can make him, I can, here's a regular voice of Bart Simpson, but I can make him a little bit younger by talking like that. And I, because Dad, Homer, don't do that. And I can get back when I'm 10 years old. Now wait, now I'm 11, now I'm like 20, and now I'm like moving, now I'm like 40. And I need a cup of coffee.
Now, Nancy is in here for her. She called herself a closet artist. We're going to talk about all that, and we're going to run down the island questions. Nancy Cartwright continues on Mark of the Morning. Let's find out what's trending. Here's Gina Grant.
Well, as Mark mentioned earlier, many Game of Thrones fans are pissed now that it was announced that season 7 will only be 7 episodes and it won't premiere until next summer. Oh, winter's coming, but it's going to take so long. In a recent interview with Glamour magazine, former One Direction heartthrob Zayn Malik revealed that an alien visited him in a dream, which is why he left the popular boy band. The alien instructed him. Moving on. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, a former prosecutor, brushed off the controversy surrounding Melania Trump's convention speech, saying he wouldn't be able to make the case for plagiarism. He says, not when 93% of the speech is completely different. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. We have legendary voice actress Nancy Cartwright from The Simpsons and many other things. She's going to stick with us.
Legendary, Nancy. Legendary.
Legendary. Wow, you make me sound like I'm 110.
Iconic. An iconic voice actress. More after
I'll take that.
8:35. But first, the police. This is Mark in the Morning.
Now, Nancy Cartwright, the voice of Bart Simpson and many others, she's also a closet artist, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But first, we will run down the island questions. And she freaked out. What are these island questions? There's no wrong answer. So, okay. Nancy, you're going to go live the rest of your life on an exotic island. You can take one kind of candy bar to eat the rest of your life. What's that candy bar?
Butterfingers. No. It's chocolatey. Does that tell you anything? The Y at the end of the word is sort of like, oh, is it really chocolate?
Chocolate-y.
Yeah.
You can take one kind of food. What will it be?
Oh, God. I just love food. I don't know. One kind of food?
Mm-hmm.
Forever. The smart thing would be to bring some kind of protein, like a side of beef.
Oh, that's good.
You know? Okay.
Practical.
But right. Yeah, but that wouldn't last long. The flies and
well,
stuff
yeah,
like
whatever
that.
You choose will always be there. You're making this harder than you
oh,
need.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'd probably be a side of beef.
There
okay.
you go.
You can take one album. What will it be?
Oh, God. That's probably got to be probably the Eagles.
Oh.
Hotel California.
Okay.
Nice.
You can take one movie. What will it be?
Oh, man.
A lot of people stumble here.
Well, God. Oh, man, that's so not fair. I don't like thinking in superlatives, dude. Oh, it's a toss-up between Toy Story and To Kill a Mockingbird.
Ooh, strong choices. I rule she gets both.
Dude, I saw To Kill a Mockingbird not that long ago. The actor who is the accused mm-hmm. in the movie.
He's brilliant.
He may have won an Academy Award. I don't know. But what he did, very few people are capable of that kind of art.
Well, he led a bit of a pathological life. And on the set, Brock Peters, he did not get along with him, I think, on purpose. And wow. Same with Gregory Peck. And he did it intentionally. He wanted to individuate himself. you know, and I guess he needed that, you know, to pull it off. Yeah. But man, beautiful acting.
All right, so for conversation's sake, dead or alive, anybody you want, they'll be in their prime on the island. Somebody for you to talk to. Can't be significant other, parents, husband, can't be that.
Oh, you know, I don't have a significant other right now.
Well, and we say this just for you. It can't be yourself, since we know you're capable of it.
Wow, who would I bring? I don't want to say.
No, those are first abstention.
We've never had that before. She knows who it is, and yeah. She doesn't want to say.
Love it.
All right.
For she's gonna do this, Mark.
For sexual gratification.
Oh, God!
Dead or alive, anybody you want.
I'm gonna be a grandmother.
What's the question?
Oh, we're waiting.
For sexual gratification, somebody that you can have sex with, dead or alive, they'll be in their prime for you.
Oh my God.
Can I get
sex with your gratification? Okay, let me look at it. Yeah, oh God, who would I, you know? There's a couple of guys that like, but they're too young. They're like, I'm old enough to be their mother.
It's your magical island.
Yeah, you can still say it.
No, I'm abstaining again. I'm such a prude.
In a row. All right. So now Nancy, she says she's been a closet artist, and her work is going to be hosted by the Chuck Jones Gallery at the Comic-Con in San Diego on Saturday, July 23rd. Explain to everybody what your art is. What do you do?
It's a very different kind of medium in that it's actually very similar to animation, where, like you had described earlier, what Chuck Jones did was bring in these acetate celluloids, like plastic. And I do the same, but it's with acrylic. And they're about a quarter of an inch thick, and I'll do the artwork on paper, and then I will draw it and transfer it onto the acrylic. And some of the pieces are, you know, smaller, like 8 by 10 size. Then I've got, you know, 24 by 36 all the way up to 4 feet by 8 feet. And I will paint it, you know, but it's done in reverse because you view it from the opposite side. So you're looking through a quarter inch of acrylic to see the artwork that I did. So it's got to be painted in reverse order, or else all you're going to see is, like, if it's an ocean, you would paint the ocean last, as opposed to like oil on a canvas, you would do the ocean water first and do all the plant and life in front of it, you know. But this is done in reverse order. It pops it. It makes it really, really pop out and be very vibrant. And I love it. It's challenging, and yet, I don't know. I go into my art studio, which is, by the way, it's a shipping container that I converted. It's an 8-foot by 20-foot shipping container. It's so cool.
Oh my God, that is so awesome.
Badass. It's like I've got French doors on the side, and it's plumb for water, and the big doors open up. You have to unclamp the things two at a time and swing them open like that. It's a
she
great
She paints
space.
In a fancy shipping container, Mark.
Now, if you're going to be in town, you can check out her painting and her sculpture. It'll be on display for the two-hour event at San Diego's Comic-Con on Saturday, July 23rd, 7:30.
Well, it's at Chuck Jones's gallery, not the Comic-Con, but at Chuck Jones's gallery.
During Comic-Con.
Listen,
yeah.
Congratulations on that.
Oh, thanks a lot. It's brand new for me, and I'm very excited about it. Thanks for having me.
Super great to see you again, and please tell Bart we said hello.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Nancy.
He's out of here.
Now, we're waiting on Adam Carolla to call. And while we do, Jackie hit my talkback button this morning. She goes, have you ever heard this? Jackie, play for them what you played for me.
Oh, crap. I thought you were going to do it.
No.
Oh, that's okay. It's okay. Hey,
you got it?
Yeah. I got it. Just, you know, talk for like a second or
Jackie
something.
Over there on the phone screen are pulling something up for Mark right now.
Yeah. Here I am.
Now, this is a group from the 60s called Jerry Lewis and the Playboys. He's Jerry Lewis's son.
Really?
Yes. Now, Jackie.
Yes.
I want to play for you. Have you heard their biggest hit?
I think so, but I don't want to spoil it. Play it for me.
Who wants to buy this diamond ring?
Mark, was this popular when you were younger?
Yeah, I was like 10.
Oh, you're so lucky.
This diamond ring doesn't shine for me anymore. And this diamond ring doesn't mean what it
There was a... Jerry Lewis had gotten so big. This is after he had broken up with Dean Martin. There was a three-minute scene in one of Jerry's movies where he sat watching the record player play this song. And he was basically just promoting his son in the movie.
That's odd.
It is. We sat there for 3 minutes and watched Jerry listen to this song.
And Mark, did your parents listen to this too? Or it was just like on, you know...
Yeah, no. No, they were beautiful music people.
What is that?
That doesn't mean Gary Lewis and the Playboys.
Okay. In fact, I can tell a story. It was actually the beginning of my fascination with morning radio. My father listened to WVNA, and they played beautiful music. And the morning guy's name was Jack Voorhees. He was the big, deep voice guy. And I would listen with my father as he would drive me to school. And there was this crotchety old man in the room with Jack, and he would sometimes interrupt Jack to say whatever he was going to say, and I just couldn't believe it. It wasn't until years later that I found out that Jack Voorhees was doing the old man's voice.
Oh,
he would do
God.
It live at, and it was. And then I learned that he had been offered jobs anywhere across the country, but he liked living in that little town, and he refused to leave. He was a master. And then I went.
So good. You're so lucky you were alive during that time.
It was pretty great, I got to be honest with you, because I lived in Muscle Shoals where there were about 12 recording studios. And I'd be sitting listening to the radio, and the jock would come on and say, well, Otis Redding's in town. He just recorded this song. And he'd talk to Otis for 10 or 15 minutes, and then they would play it. And the reason that they would do it, the producers wanted to listen to the mix on the radio to make sure that it was right.
Did you think that was normal? Did you think everyone in America experienced this?
Yes.
That's like me going around asking kids, what station is your daddy on? That's just normal life.
I was in the Pit Grill one night, which is just kind of like a Denny's.
Yeah.
Pit Grill, it was packed. It was 2 a.m. We had all been out on dates, and we stopped to get a burger. Rod Stewart and his entourage walked into the Pit Grill because Fame Studios was right next door, and they were in there recording an album.
What did you do?
Somebody got up and played a Rod Stewart song on the jukebox.
Oh.
And I think he was semi-annoyed by it.
You beat a little.
So let's take a second to talk about the fair. Gina, myself, Andy Chanley, Christian Hand, Joe Benson, Chick on the Street, Josh the Fleeganator, we're all going to be at the fair. Now, last year we just showed up. This year we're putting on a show. A Fill in the Blank with Matt and Frank, which if you've not seen that live, they got a standing ovation at the anniversary show. It's that good. They're going to do Tom Sawyer, and Jeremy, Joe Benson's son, is going to join for that. Then Matt's band Big Language does a 5-song set. Listener Talent, Josh and Katie are going to get up and try some of the fair food and tell us what we think. And then Chick on the Street becomes Chick on the Seats. She'll go into the crowd and they can ask questions. This is this Saturday, noon to 3, at the Orange County Fair at the Heritage Stage. There are, Jaylene, which is my daughter Amy's boyfriend Bradley's mother, she trains national champion frisbee dogs. And we obviously don't have enough room for him to do his whole show, but she's just going to get up on the stage and let him do some of his tricks.
That's
so you're
going
to see, Sprint is his name, and you're going to see a world champion dog do what world champion dogs do.
And just so we can follow the logic one more time, this is Mark's daughter's boyfriend's mom's dog will be joining us.
Correct.
Okay, gotcha.
The shirt that I wore on the Mark's Back campaign will be on a mannequin protected by Killer the Goat if you try to touch it, which Gina keeps saying the goat's going to eat the shirt.
It
How
will.
Funny would that be?
Goats will eat anything. They'll eat tin cans. You don't think they're going to eat your shirt?
I would love it if they did.
Every day we come in the morning and something just a little more off has happened to this mannequin. By the time you see it, Mark, it is going to be straight up terrifying.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be awesome. So we're at the Heritage Stage, 800 seats. If you want to guarantee yourself a seat, be there when the fair opens and just go to the Heritage Stage and sit down. But if you're late, there's still places to stand. So that, again, is this coming Saturday, noon to 3 at the Orange County Fair. Gina, have you picked out what you're going to wear?
Yes.
You're going to like it. Oh, how fancy are you going?
Shorts and a shirt.
Damn it.
And flip-flops.
I'm wearing a party dress.
Well, wear it.
All right, maybe I will.
All right, here we go. Officials at a German museum had some cross words with an elderly visitor after she used a ballpoint. She's in a German museum. She used a ballpoint pen to fill out the blanks in a valuable crossword puzzle-themed artwork. The 91-year-old retired dentist, identified as Hanneler, was on an outing with a group of fellow art lovers when she came upon Insert Words, a large canvas created by an avant-garde artist. She decided to take that literally. She was left alone long enough to fill in a number of blank squares. Idiot. Okay, so we now welcome in, I would do anything for this man if he asked, the great Adam Carolla. Good morning, Adam.
Thanks for having me.
Always. In fact, let's go ahead and hit it right now. Let me find it. Adam's got a show, and it's going to be with Gina, Borderline Thousand Oaks live podcast this Friday, 9 p.m. You have a cruise?
Yes.
The Corolla Cruise, Friday, December 9th through the 12th. They're going to go to Ensenada, Mexico, including a live podcast show and a screening of Adam's movie, Road Hard. How you been, Adam?
I think we lost him.
Well, that's too bad.
Very angry with you.
He's gone.
There
again.
He is.
All right. So we lost you. Adam, how are you?
I'm good, except for one simple truth, which is since cell phones have been invented and since I've been a homeowner, I've never lived in a house where I got cell phone reception. And I know that that message wouldn't resonate with starving people in Biafra. Living in L.A. in 2016, it is brutal. I really shouldn't have to pay, I feel like I shouldn't have to pay taxes.
Because of this.
Now, Adam,
because
Gina...
Because of this, you don't realize that your phone not working in your home or in your driveway is a wild inconvenience.
Yeah.
Now, Adam, I was doing the show, and you know Gina's in here with me, and I was playing a song one day, which was helping me tell a story, and in the middle of the song, I said, I realize I'm in the minority here, but I actually love this song. I'm going to play you a snippet of it, Adam. Here it is.
Having my baby. What a
told you.
Gina told me that I had to tell you.
Well, it's funny because it's the most specific song about having a child that I've ever heard. Like, if you listen to old Beach Boy songs and they're talking about cars and tacking it up and I got a 409 and positive traction and fuel injection, like, it gets really specific. And this is that for having kids. He's put his seed in her. He's watching him grow. I think at some point he talks about a sonogram. It's really...
Whether she's having a breech birth.
It's like listening to that song is like walking in on one of your mom's friends when she's in the bathroom.
God.
All you want to do is go, oh, I'm so sorry, Miss Jacobs. I didn't see any. No, I'm sorry. I'm going to go out. And by the way, wonderful deviled eggs. Wonderful deviled eggs. Sorry. Thank you. I'll return the tray. I'm going to be outside.
So he does not share your love.
Yeah, it's intimate. It feels like I'm seeing something I shouldn't see or hearing something I shouldn't hear.
And Gina also told me to ask you about your lobster story.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
I got a couple guys from the East Coast that work for me, and as a gift over the 4th of July holiday, they sent over lobsters, and you know, I like lobsters when they're in sauce. I don't, but when they're alive. So he sent them over. I opened the box. I did a full Woody Allen with them. They start to come alive as you pull them out of the box. No. The slower you pull them out of the box, the more alive they become. And I couldn't throw them into the pot of boiling water. I didn't have a pot that held more than half a lobster. My son was freaked out. My daughter was freaked out. I was trying to grab them with tongs. My wife, you want to talk about a chef. These are two things that will go on my wife's reel in terms of can she cook? and then I'll tell you a side story. My wife, first, number one, 10 years ago, I saw her preparing an avocado. I walked into the kitchen. She was peeling it like an orange, literally with her fingernails. I said, oh, my God, what are you doing to that avocado? She said, I'm pulling the skin off it so we can make guacamole. All right. Number one. Number two, she then, my wife suggested, well, why don't we just take the lobster to the butcher and have them prepare it? I'm like, they're live Maine lobsters. You're supposed to drop them in the pot live. And of course, number three, the biggest laugh I've gotten all year was I did a kitchen remod. I just finished it. Gene will tell you all about it. I went to a kitchen store alone and was looking at cabinetry. The nice woman with the clipboard was showing me all the different styles of cooking. And at some point, she pulled out this Euro magic cabinet door, and this doghouse door opened up, and this big pneumatic arm thing came out and had one of those big industrial mixing bowls with the big mixer and the oscillating mixer on it. And she looked at me and she said, does your wife bake a lot? that was the best laugh I've had all year.
Could have just stopped at bake.
Yes, you could have just stopped with the B sound, but a lot is what she said. So, that was funny. I'm thinking of having her open for me next time I go out on the road. Just do that kitchen stuff, baby. It's all A material.
I don't know, Adam, how it, because you do about 30 podcasts a week. You make movies. You're remodding house. I really don't know where you find that. Do you sleep?
Yeah, you know, really what you do is, and I tell people this all the time, you surround yourself with really good people. Not Gina. I just like to stare at her boobs.
Thank you.
But other people that are really competent, and you just delegate. You delegate, you delegate, you walk in, you look at something. I mean, Gina, you've seen it. You've seen the other guy come from the other shop who's making the documentary and go, this, that, and the other. You go, yes, that, this, that. Then you walk into the next room.
It's like the opening of the West Wing. Well, they sort of just appear and then they disappear.
Well,
right. You give them their marching orders and then you come back and check with them in 2 days.
Yeah.
That's how you do it. Same way with building a kitchen. I was literally in my kitchen this morning just yelling at someone five different things they had to do, and then I ran out the door.
Well, a couple of things that I want you to know. If you've yet to move into the world of podcasting, what I would suggest that you do is you start with Adam Carolla. It is a daily podcast easily found on Stitcher, found on iTunes. It is a daily show. Sometimes it's an hour, sometimes it's two. And that really is one of the best podcasts in the world. And you're going to get a second dose of Gina Grad. But he's also got tons of other shows that are on there. So you got to check that out. And if you want to go see a live show, Adam Carolla Live at the Borderline Thousand Oaks Live Podcast Show this Friday, 9 p.m. And then sign up for the Carolla Cruise Friday, December 9th through the 12th. It's heading to Ensenada, Mexico, live podcast show and a screening of his movie Road Hard with a post-screening Q&A with Adam. Mr. Carolla, it is always my pleasure to have you. The best to you and have a great day.
Thanks, Mark. Love you, baby. See you soon, Gina.
Bye. See you in an hour. 2 hours.
That's what he means. He means I'll see you in the
hour. Literally.
Let's check one more trending before we get out of here. Gina Grant.
Well, we talked about this a little bit this morning, the controversy between Melania Trump and Michelle Obama. Melania possibly plagiarized a bit of 2000 speech given by Michelle Obama. So while they can't imagine Michelle actually suing over this, some people are saying it's possible she has a case. LawNews.com reports that artists, authors, speakers, and songwriters always own an automatic copyright in the works they create. They can then choose to register the copyright with the U.S. Copyright Office, even though that isn't totally necessary. It's theirs once they write it and once they say it. When someone copies all or some of a copyright work without permission, that person may have, quote, infringed on the original artist's copyright. Now, Mark, this one's kind of weird because it's not a word-for-word translation by any means, but the ideas were pretty similar.
Yeah, we did talk about it. And, you know, it could be that the writers watched some of the previous speeches and copied some ideas. Yeah. And I don't know that they've got a case, but I will tell you this, because I didn't see Michelle's speech when she did it in 2008. She's a good speaker.
Yeah.
She did really, really well.
And so is Melania. I mean, I'd like to see you do a speech in Slovenian.
Oh, God, I'd butcher it because I'd say the F word.
Well, here's some more possible lawsuit controversy. Kanye and Kim thought they got the last laugh on Taylor Swift when they posted a video of Kanye getting Taylor's consent to rap about her in a fairly unflattering way, even though Taylor claimed this was not okay with her. But because Taylor was recorded without her knowledge, some sources say she may have her own case for a lawsuit. Now, I actually asked one of the most famous trial lawyer I know, Mark Garrett, about this yesterday, and he said, quote, no reasonable prosecutor would file this case. So, yeah, I don't know if it's going to go through.
There's something wrong with my brain, because this Kanye Taylor, every time I've tried to read the story, my brain stops.
I get it.
I'm not capable of understanding this.
Yeah, that's why we both tried at different points to talk about this yesterday, but we kept coming to the conclusion that we didn't care.
Well, that's the thing. I have an overwhelming case of I could give a crap about any of them.
The only reason I thought it was more interesting today than it was yesterday, because now they're saying she could possibly sue him for even posting this video in the first place, this little Snapchat, but okay. I doubt that'll happen. You don't care.
Okay.
And a 20-year-old woman from Kansas City, Kansas, has given birth to her third set of twins.
Wow.
She welcomed, two daughters on June 17th. The girls arrived less than 1 year after the other twin sisters, Delilah and Davina, and then the first set of twins were born April 2013. What in the hell is in the water where I come from?
Hello, ma'am. Congratulations on the twins. Really happy for you.
Mark, you know your...
Hello. Hello.
Mark.
Now batting.
You know you're going to hell, right? I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. This is Mark in the Morning, and this is Aerosmith. You are such a jerk.
Tuesday, check. Uncle Joe's got us a 10 at 10, though.
I don't know if I can come up with that much energy this early in the day here. Hey, 10 at 10 today. We're featuring the year The Taste of Honey won the Best New Artist in the 21st Grammy Awards. Beat out The Cars and Toto and Van Halen and Devo. Taste of Honey. You remember what year that was, Gina?
2012.
Exactly right. What?
78.
Very close. 1979. I'm amazed by both of you. I'm glad to have you as a friend. 1979 is what we're doing in the 10 at 10 today. 10 great songs from 1979. Thank you very much.
So tomorrow in the room, Danny Trejo, we're going to, porn legend Ron Jeremy. This guy is funny.
No, funny. He is.
And do you know what he did before he got into porn?
I do.
What?
Let's tease it. It's let's just say it had something to do with the future heads of the world, our children.
Yes.
Yep.
That's exactly correct.
Huh?
Yep.
Teacher.
Future heads of the world? I'm confused.
Move on, Mark.
Okay. A chef has invented a new sandwich. Get this. Grilled cheese with spaghetti on it. He's coming in tomorrow, and we're going to try it out.
Yes.
That's going to be great. Mikey.
As Mark would say, ute. Mysterious ways on Mark in the Morning.
Oh, sure, podcasting is great, but have you heard about this new invention that puts Mark in the Morning directly in your car each weekday morning? Yeah, it's called FM radio, and you'll find Mark in the Morning there on 100.3 FM in Southern California. Thanks for listening.